We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Julio Basher Chukri in the house. Oh, Lordy, 404-741-0929 is the phone line. That's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. We are streaming online. It's 929thegame.com. You can catch us live there, replays of the shows, breaking sports news, our finest sports moments, all of that there at 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app. You can catch us on the go that way. Put it on one of your devices, your phone, your tablet, your turntable, your boombox, your CD player, all that good stuff. Put it there as you catch us on the go. Social media for the station, all of it is at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. All the platforms available to you there. The best way, if you want to be a part of the show, is if you follow us personally on our Twitter handles. I am at JMCH316, at JMCH316. It's all your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is behind the glass, Jarvis in the house, producing at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. We're from NFL writer Jason Cole coming up at 8:20 as we'll talk some Falcons and go around the NFL with him and get his thoughts about what he's seen over the first couple of weeks of the season. Now, coming up on Saturday, oh, by the way, let me get this knocked out of the way. Hey, Atlanta football fans, join Harry Douglas, Paul Crane, and 9-10 The Game. J.R. Crickets in College Park off Main Street this coming Sunday starting at 11 a.m. Hang out with the guys for the Bud Light Countdown, a kickoff show to preview Atlanta versus Indianapolis. Now, coming up both Friday and Saturday, obviously, in the world of college football, a huge event is going on. And I'm going to call it that for right now, a huge event, because Notre Dame will be coming to Athens, Georgia, to take on the Georgia Bulldogs in what will be the first ever meeting between these schools in Athens. Now, obviously, they've played, the two other times, right? One was 2 years ago up in Notre Dame, and then, of course, the national title game in the Sugar Bowl, where Herschel with the separated shoulder gets knocked out, and after Buck goes 1-for-12, they said, you know what, your shoulder's going to have to get fixed right now because we ain't going to win this thing without you. But that's another discussion for another day out there. Yeah, it's 1-for-12 for 7 yards. Yes, Jarvis didn't know that. You guys didn't know that he went 1-for-12 for 7 yards? Now, to give him – no. That's a real stat. Now, the one completion was a third-down pass, Jarvis, to be fair. The one completion was a third-down pass for 7 yards that moved the chains and stuff like that. But God bless. Listen, Jarvis, 1-for-12 for 7 yards got him in the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame. You can't knock – again, I say all the time, you can't knock the hustle of what guys do. Can't knock guys' hustle. Got him in the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame for all of that. Anyway, back to the spectacle that is. If you haven't seen the opening line. The opening line, I think, was 10.5. The line for this game has now moved up to 13.5, 14 in some places. And I will tell you that as the week goes on, I expect that line to actually go up higher. Now, do I think Georgia's going to win 35-3 or something like that? No. But I think Georgia wins by 17-21. Like, I could truthfully see 35-14. I could see that. Maybe they don't win by 30-40, but, 34-17, 35-14, I could see a score like that. Because I think when you look at the matchup of this and you look at the way Georgia, I think, is going to go. We talked about, what you're going to learn and not learn about receivers, tight ends, and things like that. This is not the game where Georgia is going to go out there with the intent of, hey, let's huck it around and do all that kind of stuff. Okay? So, again, Georgia's going to go into that game with the mindset, especially with their head coach. Again, I don't care what Coley and Fromm and all those guys throw out there and tell you what they want to do and this, that, and the other. they're going to go in there and exert their will on Notre Dame, who's given up, by the way, a lot of rushing yards on the ground. By the way, if you saw that opening game, and they've already had a week off, Notre Dame. They've only played two games this year. They've actually had a week off already. They allowed Louisville to kind of run roughshod over them. They had like 250 on the ground or something ridiculous like that, which Louisville's not supposed to do that because Louisville ain't going to win a whole lot of games. There ain't a whole lot of W's on the schedule this year for Louisville. But they were running at will at times against Notre Dame. That's what's going to happen this Saturday. Georgia's going to go in there and exert their will. And the question I have, and you can hit me up on Twitter at JMCH316, at JMCH316, or hit us up on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. Is this the biggest event game in Athens? I'm going to say since Tech came into Athens in 1990, number two in the nation, trying to go to the national title game. I was trying to go through my mental Rolodex of, you know, big event games for Georgia. Now, yeah, I think this is, if I'm right on this, and you guys can correct me, the Georgia fans will know this probably pretty quickly out there, so text me or tweet me. I think the last time game day was in Athens, is that the LSU-Mettenberger game when they came in? Is that the last time that game day was in Athens? Remember that LSU team and Mettenberger comes in there? And that was what? Landry and Odell, right? We're both on that team, right? Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham were both on that team. So I think that's the last time that ESPN game day was in Athens. Was that what it was, Jarvis? Am I right on that? And that's the Mettenberger game, right? That's where Mettenberger comes back, Mark Richt, that LSU team. I want to say LSU was what, about sixth in the country? Yeah, was that four? Was that four? Oh, 9-6. Okay. I was thinking it was 4-6, but 9-6 in that game. That was a big game, but that didn't have like the pageantry as far as the other storyline intrigues. You know, I don't think the game is going to be all that competitive and all that good. Now, the LSU game was actually really good. That was actually a really good game, that game on CBS. That was a 3:30 CBS game. I don't think this game is going to be that good. But the hype and the spectacle, okay? I'm trying to think about when the last time Athens had a game like this where it was a spectacle. And looking through kind of games and stuff like that, because I don't think that they had anybody at number one in the nation come into that building. Now, they've played Florida when they were number one, but obviously that's in Jacksonville. I think one or two of those Tebow years, Florida was number one in the nation when Georgia faced them. But again, that's down in Jacksonville, so that's neutral site. Talking about in Athens, and the closest thing I came to was 1990, Georgia Tech coming in at number two in the nation with a potential chance to get into the national title picture. Because remember, they didn't have a BCS or, you know, all that kind of stuff. What? Didn't the Tech play in the Tangerine Bowl that year? Is that what that was? Was it the Tangerine Bowl? I think that's what that bowl game ended up being, was the Tangerine Bowl, when they split the national title year where they split with Colorado. Colorado played Notre Dame, obviously. They played them in the Orange Bowl and got the worst, you know, benefited from the worst call I've ever seen in the history of college football. I lost $500 on that bet, on that, by the way, because I said Rocket was going to take that kick back for a touchdown, and he did. Then they called the phantom block in the back penalty, but I'm not mad all these years later about the money that I lost on all that. But anyway, nonetheless. But it's been a while, as the song says, since we've really seen a spectacle around Athens. You know, since there's been a lot of hype and hoopla and things like that. The reality is that Georgia's the better team here. You know, it may be, by God, Notre Dame that's coming in on Saturday at 8 o'clock. Now, and you think about that. CBS went in And after, what, almost a decade or however many years it was of LSU-Alabama being the 1-8 o'clock game at night, you know, this is now, they looked at Georgia-Notre Dame and said, we want that to be our 8 o'clock game. Now, the funny part is CBS this year will probably get a much better game out of LSU-Alabama than they will Georgia and Notre Dame. Because LSU looks like they could be for real, you know, that they may have a shot. Part of the problem has been that LSU-Alabama game hasn't been very competitive. I mean, forget what score is. That game hasn't been overly competitive. It's not been that game has not been that good to watch. That 9-6 game or whatever like that, you know, when those two teams were really going at it. That game was really good. It hadn't been that way the last few years. That game has not been all that intriguing. So I think CBS was looking for a more competitive matchup for one, but two is the intrigue and the story surrounding everything with Notre Dame coming down south and coming into Athens and all that. Citrus Bowl. Thank you, J-Dub. Citrus Bowl. Yeah, I thought it was the Citrus Bowl, the Tangerine Bowl, or one of those bowls. I know it was down like in the Orlando area down there that they played. Yeah, they played Nebraska, right? They played Nebraska that year. Yeah, they played Nebraska in the Citrus Bowl and ended up splitting the national title. But is that really the last time that there's been this much hype? Again, talking about hype for the game. I'm not talking about the football matchup. I'm not talking about what this team does versus this team. I'm talking about what the hype surrounding the game and all the pub and the circumstance and the pomposity and all that around it. Now, I was not here in 1990, so I can't tell you what that environment was like, but I would have to think that there was a lot of intrigue into that game. I'm doubting that there was sports talk radio down here, unless Bo Bock was doing it. Was Bo Bock on Quixie and Dixie or anything like that? Him and Garrow McKee, were they doing a sports talk radio show? Like, I don't know who else would have been around at that point. I don't think Steve and Vicky were doing a sports talk radio show on the weekends, moonlighting or anything like that. So the net result is it's been a long time since there's been that kind of hype and atmosphere that's coming to Athens and going to descend like it will be this Saturday. And it's been a hot ticket. I just don't think the football game is going to be that competitive. We get back. Jason Cole, NFL writer, going to join us as we'll talk some Falcons and go around the rest of the league with him. It's all next. John Chuckery in the Keys Studio, Sports Radio 910 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show here with you on a Tuesday evening. It's a couple of weeks now in the NFL season, trying to figure out who is what and what's going on out there around the league. Obviously early yet, and still a lot of injuries, a lot of stuff, a lot of storylines, especially at the quarterback position. Here to help us sort it all out, we go out to the waitfor.com hotline. Hall of Fame voter and NFL writer Jason Cole joins us here. You can follow Jason on Twitter. He is at JasonCole62. Jason, as always, appreciate time, buddy. Thanks for jumping on with me.
No problem. What's going on?
Not much. Well, let's start here locally with the Falcons. And you know, it's kind of interesting when you obviously see the Drew Brees story, and he's going to have his surgery tomorrow, and reports are that Cam may or may not play, that foot re-aggravated, and whether or not he's going to play on Sunday or not. Does it feel like that this may be an opportunity for the Falcons to start over the next few weeks, try to grab a hold of and kind of stranglehold the division some before maybe some of these quarterbacks and teams truthfully get healthy again?
That's putting it kind of lightly, isn't it? Like, It's sort of like if you don't take advantage of this, then you're squandering an opportunity. I mean, this is the inverse of what happened to the Falcons last year when they had the major injuries that really cut their season short. When, you know, Neal gets hurt and Deion Jones, and what was the third major injury that lost one of the corners, if I remember correctly. I mean, they had some, you know, significant things happen to them last year, and you know, it comes in waves, and the wave is now hitting these other two teams. If you don't climb aboard and take advantage of this opportunity, then you got to be kicking yourself at the end of the season.
Jason, in a couple of weeks, what do you think is the weakest area that you've seen about this Falcons football team?
Weakest area I've seen. Um, I don't know that, but this is, they're not the only team that I would classify this way. Do they have a running game that can close out a game? Now, they haven't been in a game where they've had to, you know, try and take 6 or 8 minutes off the clock. Now, 8 is awfully hard in today's NFL, but, you know, taking 5 or 6 minutes off the clock is pretty crucial. Do they have that kind of running game? And they didn't have it last year. They sort of had it the year before, I thought. I just don't know how physical they are, especially with all the changes in the offensive line. I think they want to get to that, but can they close out a game in the fourth quarter? I think that the weapons are there for them to score a lot of points. And while Dirk Koetter is not Kyle Shanahan, I think Dirk Koetter is a better offensive coordinator than most. And so I like what they have, but like that last little piece can be a really critical part of what you want to do, you know, to carry yourself into playoff situations and close out games during the regular season. Basically, you're scoring to win and you're running. You're scoring to get the lead, and then you're running to win games. And I don't know that they have the ability to run to win games.
Yeah, as Bill Parcells would call that, 4-minute offense, right? Be able to try to close out a game. Jason Cole joining us here on the WaitFor.com hotline, NFL writer and Hall of Fame voters. We start to go around the NFL. You know, Antonio Brown's got his landing spot, and maybe no better place to be, you know, in New England. Is he going to have one of these monster seasons once he gets a chance to really, you know, kind of focus on football? I mean, you know, obviously the story playing out with his trainer and, you know, believe what you want to believe through all of it. But, you know, it just feels like he comes right in, scores a touchdown, just kind of acclimates himself right into it. It just seems like, you know, it could be another one of these stories where just a guy walks into the New England Patriots and just has another blowout monster season.
Well, if you're looking for Randy Moss in those kind of couple of years that he had there, I don't know that you're going to get that, right? Because I think there are too many people for the ball to get to. Like, they want Josh Gordon to be a part of this offense, and they want him to be important. And, you know, you've got to feed Edelman a certain amount. That said, I think there's, you know, if you're talking about, you know, getting 1,200, 1,300 yards, scoring 12 touchdowns, which is not necessarily Antonio Brown Pittsburgh, but it's certainly better than most years that any New England wide receiver has, then yes, I think you can have that. Like, take Brandon Cooks and the year that he was with New England and then add like 10 to 15% onto that. I think that that's what you're capable with Antonio Brown. I think the bigger problem is he going to skate through the season without something happening to him? That's the part where I really go, I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know how they're going to essentially, I don't know how the league is going to manage this, because I don't know that the bad publicity is going away when you're talking about, you know, sexual assault charges, not charges, but accusations against a player. That's not the something that they skate through. But we'll see what this woman had to say on Monday and how seriously the NFL is able to take her. I don't say how seriously they're going to take her, but how seriously they're able to take her, because she's going to have to provide some proof of what she's talking about.
Jason, I don't know if it's a, you know, probably a fair correlation, but the old saying is that perception has the same effect as truth. On one hand, you know, I get it. Stars and the top players in the league are not going to play at all through the preseason and take hits and this, that, and the other. Then on the other hand, you know, in the first 2 weeks, we're losing quarterbacks, we're losing star players, and, you know, to injury and things like that. It's a weird dynamic for the NFL. I'm not saying that the two are directly related, but again, perception has that effect on things, and people are going to correlate the fact that, well, see, they don't play. I mean, trust me, we hear it here. They didn't play in the preseason, so see what happens. Now these guys are getting hurt. It's a tough spot for the NFL, because especially at the quarterback position, that's the last thing the league wants, is to watch Andrew Luck retire, Ben go out, Breeze go out, and, you know, all these guys getting hurt week after week.
Yeah, but some of these are chance injuries, right? Like, Breeze broke his thumb on somebody's hand. Like, he wasn't just running and his hamstring blew out because he hadn't extended himself during preseason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Roethlisberger Yeah, that's an elbow injury. You know, like the ulnar collateral ligament snapped. I don't know how you avoid that. You know, and Andrew Luck, that's a, you know, that was not because he went out and worked out and got hurt again. He was already hurt and was tired of it. He's been hurt for four straight years. So I guess what I'm saying is, yeah, I understand, you know, perception is reality. But I don't know. I mean, we go through this every year. I would love to see somebody do studies of, okay, what the injury cycle look like over the first 3 weeks of the season, over the first 4 weeks of the season, compared to the previous 10 years. And basically, when I have heard that information, normally it hasn't been a whole lot of difference, you know, the limited amount of information that I've gotten on that. But I would love to see somebody do a very thorough study of how many big injuries you get. I just know every year it seems in my head, and this is the same kind of conclusion that we're talking about with the perception is reality, is we have a couple of injuries early in the season and people react and go, oh my God, what's going on here with all the injuries? Well, guys get hurt a lot. That's how this sport works.
Well, and also, Jason, you know, the old theory is, you know, the defense catches up quicker than the offense, and mm-hmm. people yeah. fall back onto that. And so when you it's like the totality. Like I said, I'm with you. I'm not saying that there's a direct correlation, but that's the first thing everybody grabs, you know, grabs a hold of. And it is kind of a weird dilemma for the NFL as far as just the look of it all. See, nobody played in the preseason, and now everybody's getting hurt. I mean, like I said, it's not fair, but it's just how people are going to react to what they see on the field and just kind of in that tunnel vision view.
Right. Well, it's the same thing as when you change rule enforcements, right, year over year. Like, they've had a lot of holding calls so far this year. What happens is the holding calls tend to be really high at the beginning of the season, and then they return to the norm a little bit. And or whatever penalty you're choosing to enforce, like the years where they have enforced more, you know, contact rules, right, on receivers, where it's like, you know, you can't touch these guys anymore. And so you get an inordinate number of calls early in the season, and then it regresses back to the norm because everybody gets used to the rules. So I kind of like to let these things kind of play out. But the Breeze injury is just, you know, bad luck. I mean, that's how I look at it. And Roethlisberger, maybe it's because he didn't play in the preseason, but maybe it's just because, like, his body's old. Dude's 38 years old. So,
yep.
You know, that could be it as well. And Andrew Luck, well, that one is, you know, he lost his appetite for the game, his passion for it.
Jason Cole joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Jason, last thing for you, as you look at the Cowboys, Packers, Rams, all 2-0, three of the 2-0 teams in the NFC, sort out for me who you think has been the most impressive of those three teams after the first couple of weeks.
I said Packers, Rams, Cowboys. Cowboys have been the most impressive. Dak Prescott elevated his game significantly this season, I think. Yeah, the fact that, you know, new offensive coordinator, you're seeing a little bit more aggression there. He's the most improved. Well, I shouldn't say he's not the most improved player. If you know, the quarterback in Baltimore is Jackson's been phenomenal.
Lamar's so putting up video game numbers again.
Yeah, I mean Lamar's been great, but Prescott would be right there next to him if you talked about guys who just have jumped out and said, "Oh, this doesn't look like the same player of a year ago," right? So I think because of that, the Cowboys have been the most impressive. We'll see if it holds up. You know, their pass rush has been really good as a result because they're getting leads on people right away. You know, the Packers, least impressive of those three, so the Rams coming in the middle somewhere. I think the Packers, like, their offense doesn't look consistent to me at all. It's very disjointed, especially the opener against Chicago. You know, this last week they had a good first half, second half. They just didn't get moving at all, and you know, kind of hold on there in the second half of the game. And it's obvious that Rodgers is just not ready for what LaFleur wants to do. And in Los Angeles, Yeah, they're working back into finding out if how healthy is Gurley, sort of reference your talk about guys not playing in the preseason. What is Gurley going to look like, and how do you work with him, and what do you do with Malcolm Brown, his backup? And Cooper Kupp is almost just as important as that. Now, Cooper had a big game this last week, but he missed the second half of the season. And if you want to talk about a big reason why the Rams' offense wasn't as good in the second half of the season, certainly down the stretch, and basically got shut down against New England, a huge reason for that is Cooper Kupp. I mean, I know Gurley was hurt, and that took its toll, but Cooper Kupp is a really critical part of what they're trying to do, and how his ability to read defenses in sync with Jared Goff. So, they're trying to piece it back together a little bit in Los Angeles.
Jason Cole's an NFL writer, Hall of Fame voter. You can follow him on Twitter, @JasonCole62. Join us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. As always, Jason, appreciate time, buddy. Thanks for jumping on a few minutes with us. Talk some NFL.
Okay, anytime.
You got it. Thanks, Jason. We'll be back. John Chuckery, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Hey, John, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game in Athens at the Grindhouse Killer Burgers. We got broadcasts going on Friday and Saturday. So Andy and Randy will be out there from 10 to 2 on Friday. Dukes and Bell will be live from 2 to 7 on Friday. Saturday, freaking Hugh are going to be there from 9 to noon, and then some show called College Football Game Time is after that. I don't know who hosts all that. I'm not sure who's on that show. They haven't told me yet who's going to be on all that. Oh, okay. We don't try to run any promos for that show either. Chuck will be back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. Follow us on Twitter. I'm @JMCH316. @JMCH316. He's @JarvisD90. So much for that 2-0 lead the Braves picked up after the first inning. Dallas Keuchel gives up 5 runs all in the fourth inning. Hoskins homer with Harper on. Grounder to short that scores a run, and then another home run given up, another 2-run homer given up as well. So, yeah, a little bit of a rough patch. Here's the amazing part is just it seems like just when you think you have some of these guys figured out as a starting pitcher and they come out and throw a clunker for a start. I don't know. It's just kind of fascinating watching sometimes the way that this pitching staff works. But anyway, we will see. Braves are going to be in the playoffs. I think Washington is up 1-0 in the third over St. Louis, but it's early, obviously, in that game as well. Speaking of clinching nothing, let's get to What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, by the way, one quick stat, because I am finding it, and this is, like, I'm just shaking my head, like some of the folks on our text line, Jarvis. I just looked up the stats, because I'm hearing about different systems and this, that, and the other. Let me just give you the net result facts. The last 3 years, Ben Roethlisberger has thrown 91 touchdown passes. The last 3 years, Matt Ryan's thrown 93 touchdown passes. Okay? So, again, you can tell me about systems and all this knuckleheaded nonsense. Okay? The quarterback here in this town's thrown more touchdowns over the last 3 years than Ben Roethlisberger. If they can throw less touchdowns and still figure out a way, are you saying that our coaching staff doesn't know what they're doing? I'm trying not to get frustrated. I really am, Jarvis. I'm trying not to get frustrated. Try not to get frustrated. Try not to get frustrated. Okay. Boy, I'm glad the NFL and everybody's so concerned about concussions. You know, Sterling Shepard didn't play yesterday in that game against the Bills, I think it was, that they played. And the reason is because, well, he was in the concussion protocol. Except that he got the concussion in the game the week before in the third quarter against the Cowboys, where he was concussed and still allowed to play. And everybody kind of showed you know, video of this and stuff like that where the NFL, the Giants, nobody, like, pulled him off and told him he had to come out of the game. Even though he kind of struggled to get up, he was waving off everybody or whatever like that. Now, says that the NFL deploys neurological spotters on both sidelines, as well as another set of eyes in the press box to make sure players don't stay in the game unless they're knock woozy. But they say somehow Shepard evaded all of that stuff and the Giants staff itself to stay in the game and not miss a play. And it turned out that he did have a concussion. So here's what I'm confused about. The NFL just had to pay out, what was it, $1 billion? Okay? They just paid out $1 billion. And you still got guys that get knocked down and woozy and try to get up, and everybody missed it? Like, you would think that, honestly, if there was one thing that would not slip between the cracks in the NFL, it would be anything head trauma. Literally, of every single imaginable thing that could possibly ever happen in the NFL, the one thing that they would not let slip between the cracks would be anything that deals with head trauma. Considering they just had to pay out $1 billion with a B, $1 billion. You would think, if anything else, the NFL would want a reputation of we're too aggressive at pulling guys out, wouldn't you think? Or is some of it lip service, as the cynic in me says at times? You know, Jason Cole and I talked about this, okay? I'm not telling you one is because of the other, okay? And Jarvis, I don't know how much you heard about what Jason and I were talking about, but like it or not, people perceive these guys getting hurt because they didn't play in preseason and this, that, you know, and the other. The NFL doesn't want its stars knocked out. You think the NFL is good for business when Cam Newton, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, and those guys don't play? That's not good for business, from fantasy football to bar. It's not good for business. Yeah, from TV to everything. It's not good for business to have all those guys not play. And it's not a matter of blaming those guys for getting hurt, or those guys got hurt because they didn't practice or didn't play in preseason. It's just the perception and the look, okay? How could any guy that gets any knock on the melon not get yanked in a game in today's NFL? You would think that would be the one thing that the NFL, if it had to spend all of its capital and resource on, would make sure that nothing slips between the cracks. Literally. Like, you would think that they would make sure, no matter what, all the pass interference calls in the world are missed. You know what I mean? Like, they would overlook everything else they have except for making sure guys don't get, you know, left into a game after they take a knock on the melon. Whether innocent, accidental, it doesn't look bad, it is bad, wouldn't matter. You would think that'd be the one thing the NFL would make sure that they never screw up. Yet they found a way to do it, and probably won't be the last guy either. All right, when we get back, MJ is getting in the tequila business. Could use a tequila shot right about now. Chuck Green, the Kia Studio, Sports Radio, 910 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.